and you became thankful because you're in. He said, come in the courts and begin to praise God. Begin to shabak him. Begin to yada God. Reach out with your hands cupped and say, Lord, I don't deserve it, but I'm so glad that you gave me the opportunity to come in your presence. Lord, I know my righteousness is as a filthy rag, but thanks be to God that the blood of Jesus washed me clean. Do I have any witnesses? Lord, I was sick in my body, but I forgot about the headache when I got in your court. You healed my body. Lord, I have some needs, but I ain't thinking about that right now because I need to praise you. Do I have any witnesses? Oh, yeah, we enter into the gates and admire God. I need to thank God. But he said, and be thankful unto him and bless his name. In other words, I start out with thank you and I dance a little while. And I think about the goodness of Jesus. Then I say thank you again. I start out with thank you. Clap my hands and say thank you again. Do I have any witnesses? I start out with thank you and tell the folks why I'm thanking him and say thank you again. Do I have any witnesses that I start with a thanks and I end it with a thanks? Oh, praise the Lord. He said, and bless his name. Lord, your name is above every name. At your name, every knee shall bow. At your name, will you help me preach it here? Every tongue confess. He said he'll lead you in the path of righteousness for his namesake. It's the name Jesus. In the Hebrew, Yeshua. God is salvation. God is liberty. God is peace. God is life. Do I have anybody that say it's the name? The Bible tells us that in the name of Jesus that you can cast out devils. You can drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm you. It says in the name of Jesus you can speak in new tongues, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's the name. I don't want to go anywhere where they don't appreciate the name. I don't want to go to Oprah because she don't appreciate the name. I don't, come on and say amen. I don't want to go anywhere that they don't appreciate the name. The reason why you got to have the name is because demons, they fear and tremble at that name. Do I have a witness? See, I need to have the name. And because I wear the name, because I belong to him, he stamped me as his property. I wear the name. And because of the name, you see what you see. Without the name, I'm helpless. Without the name, I'm hopeless. But since I got the name, he hears me. He helps me. And he's healed me. Do I have a witness? Oh, praise his name. Look at verse 5. It said, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endure to all generations. Now what I get from this, when I look at what it says, I need to praise God. And he said, this is the reason why. When you say, for the Lord is good, when you see what it say, for the Lord is good, he said, the reason why I praise his name, because the Lord of his essentials, he's essentially good. You can't tell me nothing about my God because God is good. Oh, come on and say yes. Even in judgment, God is good. Oh, say amen here. Even in darkness, God is good, because he looked in darkness and said, let there be. And when light appeared, he said, it looked like me, so it's good. When he created man from the dust of the earth, He said it's good. You got to understand something. When he created man, he didn't create man from the mud, but he blew his breath and he made a dust. And when he caught the dust, he formed the man and he blew breath inside of the man. I wish I had somebody. For the Lord is good. I got to praise God because of his essentials. He is good. Do anybody know that the Lord is good? I said the Lord is good. But then I got to praise him because he's eternal. He said his mercy is everlasting. In other words, he don't run out of mercy. He come on and say amen. I heard somebody say that God get tired, but I'm beg to differ. His mercy endures forever. He didn't get tired of me. Every time I lied to him and said I ain't gonna do it no more, he still gave me mercy. Every time I told him, Lord, I'm gonna change, and I turned right back around like a dog to the vomit, like a hawk to slop. I realize that he was eternal and his mercies, they're eternal. Oh, come on and say yes. He said it's everlasting. In other words, his mercy will outlast your sin. His mercy will outlast your lies. Say yes. Say yes. His mercy will outlast you. Well, the Bible said it. Well, sin abound, grace does much more abound. Do I have a witness? Now that's not a license to sin, but what it is hope in God that I don't have to stay like this. Lord, change me, rearrange me, make me over. Anybody here ever prayed that prayer? Say, Lord, make me over. I'm thankful that he can make me over. I'm thankful that he can turn me around. Say yes. Not only do I praise him for his essentials and I praise him for what's eternal, but I praise him for the endurance of his word. He said his truth. Anybody know the truth? I know the truth. He said his truth. Endure it to all generations. I thank God for the endurance of his word. Anybody here know his word endures forever? The word of the Lord on the first day, it spoke light, created the earth on the first day. Do I have a witness here? And his word 2,000 years later got the sun in the sky. 2,000 years later got the moon in its place. 2,000 years later got the stars in their place. Say yes. 2,000 or better yet 6,000 years later, do I have a witness? Got the earth going, still around the sun. His word endures forever. His word brought them out of Egypt, took them through a Red Sea. His word took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, dropped them in a furnace, kept them while they're in the heat, brought them out. His word dropped Jeremiah into a pit, slapped in the face. But he said his word is like fire shut up in my bones. His word dropped Daniel in the lion's den, but he got up and said, O king, live forever. His word endures forever. Do I have a witness? But his word took up a old rugged cross. Do I have a witness? Came up a hill that was called Golgotha, wasn't called Calvary until he died. Say yes. His word stumbled a little bit, but they pull a man out of the crowd by the name of Simon, and they penned a song. They said, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? There is a cross for everyone. Do I have a witness here? Are y'all going to sleep on me? Say yes, there's a cross for me. His word laid on the cross. His word said, no man can take my life, but I'll lay it down. His word laid on a rugged cross. They put nails in his word. They pierced his word. They put crown of thorns on his word. But the word kept on going. His word said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. His word gave up the ghost. Come on and say yes. His word said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. His word had no grave, but they wrapped his word in some grave clothes, took the word, put it in a borrowed tomb for 72 hours. All he needed it was for hours, 72 hours, because early, early, 72 hours later, early Sunday morning, his word rose up. Say yes. His word had a stone to roll away. His word got up, told Mary, go tell my disciples and Peter. His word walked the Emmaus road and talked with the disciples. His word stood on the seashore, said, children, come in, I got something for you to eat. His word got on a cloud, went back to the heavens, and the angel said about his word, why you gazing? The same Jesus, say yes, that you see go that way will come the same way. His word endureth, endureth forever. The thing I love about it was the same word that's got the slaves through 400 years of oppression. The same word that took us through the civil rights movement. The same word that got my grandma right and my grandfather to heaven. The same word is good enough for me, and it's good enough for my children. He said, it endureth to all. Can you say all? All generations. So I know you've been worried about what's going to happen to the children. Stop your worrying. There is a word for the generation. There's a word that'll keep your grandchildren. Say yes. Say yes. I'm thankful there is a word. I'm thankful that he sent his word and healed me. I'm thankful that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Anybody here thankful for the word? I'm thankful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your word. Won't his word heal you? Won't his word set you free? Won't his word comfort you in the midst of trouble? Won't his word deliver you? Won't his word pick you up, turn you around? Say yes. Won't his word bless your soul? Won't his word make you happy? I'm happy right now, and it's all because of his word. Anybody here say, I got the word? They sang a song, Mississippi Mass Choir said they got the word. It was about a celebration. Come on and say yes. I'm gonna celebrate because I got a word. Anybody here? Are you happy today? Don't fool me now, but will you thank him? I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Reminds me of the 10 lepers. You remember the story of the 10 lepers? Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. They cried out for healing. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they were running to go, to the church house. One of them said, whoa, 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 whoa. I believe I'll go back and tell the one that healed me, thank you. When he came back, he said, thank you. Because he had lost everything. He had lost his relationships. He couldn't even go to church anymore. He didn't have any money anymore. He lost fingertips and nose and ears. And he realized all of a sudden all that stuff had been restored to him. So he had sense enough to run back and say, Lord, I thank you. It's a sad testimony if you can't turn back and say, Lord, I thank you. I was raised the right way. I believe that. And they taught me that if somebody does something nice for you, the least you can do is turn around and say, thank you. Anybody here, has the Lord done anything for you? Has the Lord healed your body? If the Lord has blessed you, if the Lord has spoken to you, you ought to stand on your feet and shout to the Lord. You ought to stand to your feet and worship the Lord and sing to the Lord. I don't have much to sing, but the least I can do is sing, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Your two-word song. Thank you. The last verse says, thank you. The first verse, thank you. Second and third verse, thank you, thank you. Come on, thank the Lord. I'm thankful for what the Lord has done. I'm thankful for what the Lord is doing. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. And I know how to come in the gate. I come in the gate thanking him because I know I didn't have to be in the gate. I could be on the outside with everybody else, but he let me in. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I made it. You know what? The devil said that he was going to take you out. You ought to be thankful. See, you got to understand, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's not coming to play with you. And so you ought to be thankful that he didn't have his way. But the Lord had his way. You ought to be thankful that there was a word that kept me. You ought to be thankful that all night and all day, the angel watching over me. He said, the angel of the Lord encamps round about me. So I'm thankful for all that is around me. I'm thankful the Lord protects me. The hedge of protection. I'm thankful. I'm thankful.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Let go. Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
The wonderful name of your son, Jesus, the Christ, our Savior, our elder brother. We thank you for this privileged opportunity to study your word. Thank you for those who have made the sacrifice to be a part of this study today. God, we pray that you will meet them and minister to them right where they are spiritually, and then lift them to the place you'd have them to be for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Every believer said, amen. God bless you. Give God some praise as you are seated in his presence. Amen, amen. Now, what I want to do as we prepare to start this special study, we're in the time, the season of Thanksgiving, and we're going to have audience participation today because it is all about showing our thanksgiving, our spirit of gratitude, rather than the incidents of gratitude, shows our maturity in Christ. And even when we learn how to be grateful for the things that don't always go our way, because through those things, God, as we know, according to the word, says that we know that all things do what? Work together for what? For good. For them that love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. So knowing that as you grow and mature in the Lord, you may have had your set of plans, you may have had your desire of how you wanted things to turn out, how you wanted them to, you know, end up. And not to say that they won't end up that way, but at this point, they've not come to that point. And so you're dealing with them and wrestling with them. But what you need to realize is once you come to that place of knowing that God is in control, that he's got this thing fixed, that if you would show God, I am grateful more for your will being done than mine. Notice when Jesus says in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. It was not a happy time in his life. It was not when things were going well. It was not when he was experiencing the height of his joy on planet Earth. No, it was at the deepest point of his sorrow and disappointment. It was at that point he said, not my will, but thine be done. Now, you've got to be at a place of maturity to be able to thank God when it ain't good for you. You've got to be at a point of maturity when it's not going your way and you don't see how it's going to turn out your way and how it's going to work out your way. But it's in that same moment that you should be grateful and thankful to God. And so one of the things that I want you to do is if you've got some paper and pencil, I want you to jot down 10 of the most grateful things on your list. We're going to take a little time. I wanted to go through a series of studies in terms of scripture, but I'm going to just turn to Psalms 100, and we're going to go through Psalms 100, and then I'll pick out a few points from that. But I want this to be a participatory study today. I want you to list 10 of the most important, the greatest, the height of your blessings are those things that you are thankful for. And this is personal. I mean, we're not going to grade you or anything, but we are going to share with you some hopeful, holy hints as to how we should be grateful and thankful to God, even perhaps above where we are presently. So you jot down the top 10 list, your top 10 list. Now, while you are jotting those down, you take a few moments and think, and I'll just go through the scripture that we'll be going through, and we will return to your list. Psalm number 100 starts off. This is really a joyful psalm, a joyful psalm. It talks about serving God with gladness, talks about rejoicing in him, knowing who you are and whose you are. And so as it starts off, it's not but five verses, but the first verse begins by saying, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. So this is inclusive of every person on planet Earth having a reason to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Listen at verse 2. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Don't care what your position is, what your place is, what your prominence is. It says, serve him with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. You know, we who are children of the Most High God have a God that can fix our every situation, our every circumstance, our every problem, every concern. So we don't have to come to him complaining. We can petition him. We can request. We can ask of him. We don't have to come complaining. Complaining won't help him jump on our issue and work it out quicker, because he knows who we are. And if we know who we are, then we know our privilege. And if we know our privilege, then we know it is our prerogative to be able to go to God and simply state what it is we want in faith, in the name of Jesus, and know that if it is according to the will of God, that when we pray, we have what we petition him for. We have it. So what's the sense in complaining? It's just like when Jesus went, saw the man who had been by the pool of Bethesda some 38 years, asked him, did he want to be whole? The first thing the man did was complain. Jesus didn't ask him nothing about, man, what's going on? What's your problem? What tell me all about your troubles. He just asked him a question. Do you want to be made whole? And so sometimes we miss our blessings and our benefits by not knowing our position, by not knowing our prerogative, by not knowing our privilege as a child of God. We can boldly go before the throne of grace and tell God what our situations are, and knowing that he'll hear and answer us and get it taken care of without the complaining and being cynical. Look at verse 3. It says this, know ye, not think ye, not feel ye, not believe ye, but know ye that the Lord, he is God. If you really know he's God, then you know what all that entails. You know his power. You know his preeminence. You know his privilege as the supreme being who can do anything but fail. So when you know he is God, you know that there is no other God before, above, or greater than he. And so when you know that, it makes it a whole lot better. For it says, it is he that had made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. See, when you know God, that means, number one, you are on the path to knowing yourself. Because if he is God and you know that he has created you, he's the creator, you're the creation, there is a connection there. In that connection, which is called relationship, you have the right as the sheep of his pasture, knowing he is your shepherd. David says in the 23rd Psalm, verse 1, the Lord is what? He is my shepherd. And if he is my shepherd, what? I listen at the certainty, shall not want. So if you shall not want, what you complaining for? What you being cynical and disillusioned for? What are you listing your laundry list of disappointments and all the rest? All that's going to come. It comes to the saved. It comes to the unsaved. It comes to the righteous. It comes to the unrighteous. But the Bible says many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So if God's going to fix your situation, why let your situation fix you? I mean, what you whining and crying for? I mean, okay, there is a human side of us. We might cry for 3 seconds. Then you wipe your eyes and say, okay, all right, got that out the way now. Now let me get on with the business of God taking care of this situation. And when you begin to operate in that kind of certainty, knowing that he is God, then it makes all things well. Here is what I want you to see. Verse 4, enter into his gates with what? With thanksgiving. This is a powerful phrase, because one of the things that you must be clear about in understanding the writer stating this, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You know, when you have an expectation of God, now we have a revelation that they didn't have now. We understand the Holy Ghost and the presence of the Lord being with us in our daily walk. And so we really don't have to wait till we enter into the gates. to give thanksgiving. How many understand that? You can be in your car, in your home, you can be at work, wherever you are. You can just have a spirit of thanksgiving and praise breaks out. You can have a praise party all by yourself with others who will come and help you lift up and magnify the name of the Lord. But they didn't have that privilege. So yet there was an expectation upon coming to the house of the Lord. When they entered into the gate,